Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. This is Russ Johnson back with Blog Talk Radio, and today we will continue our discussion about conspiracies, cover-ups, UFOs, UAPs, and all the information coming out of the Pentagon about what's happening on Earth, dealing with the alien species visiting the planet.
We have tackled many strange stories on 60 Minutes, but perhaps none like this. It's the story of the U.S. government's grudging acknowledgement of unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, more commonly known as UFOs. After decades of public denial, the Pentagon now admits there's something out there, and the U.S. Senate wants to know what it is. The Intelligence Committee has ordered the Director of National Intelligence and the Secretary of Defense to deliver a report on the mysterious sightings by next month.
Wow.
The story will continue in a moment.
Right. And it will, too. But so I have Sally Barnhart with us today. She's a psychic, an intuitive, a clairvoyant. And maybe more importantly, she's been abducted a number of times. And in recent years, her memory is coming back about some of the experiences she's been having. And she's written a book called Call Me Xena. And so, Sally, thank you very much for being on Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate you being
here. Thank you for having me, Rob.
Right.
Hello. So, good afternoon.
So this is a big topic. I mean, a lot of
it's
people just
don't know.
It's also
a very fascinating topic.
Well, I would say yes.
Yeah.
I say, if it's true, aliens are visiting the planet and UFOs and are here walking among us. If it's true that aliens created the human being some thousands, hundreds of thousands of years ago, then it's the most kept secret on planet Earth. And it's going to be a surprise for people to understand that some of this is real. A lot of people, I believe you met a lady the other day. She said she's interested in it.
Yes.
But what did she say?
Well, she said that, yes, she just actually, I just bumped into her. I was sitting having coffee, and she saw a book on my table, and it had UFOs written on it. And she actually turned around, and she said, is this anything to do with the government and UFOs? And I said, yes. And I said to her, she was with her husband, are you interested? She said, yes, that's why I noticed the book. But my next question was, is do you believe that there are UFOs? So she said she was skeptical, but she was getting there, which a lot of people are beginning to say right now, Russ. I think they're interested in knowing more, which they had no interest at one time. They would look like you were crazy saying that.
Well,
so I was happy to hear that.
Well, I got a real serious question. Why do people think people who say they are UFOs, aliens on the planet, or they've been abducted, or they've had they are contactee, or they know people who have been out of body and back again and know a lot of information. Why would people say they're crazy? Why would people, question?
It's much more acceptable, as you know now, than it was maybe when I first had my very first experience, which was about 18 years ago today. And at that time, I wasn't even sure what was happening to me, and it was difficult because many people that I knew had no idea, but I was lucky to have one person in my life that understood what was happening. And it was even difficult for me to understand, but today there is so much more out in the open, and especially, I guess, even that people are able to take pictures today, which many years ago we didn't have the camera on us. We'd have to run inside, but we have our phones today. So more and more evidence is coming out.
So people maybe, especially the recent Pentagon soft disclosure, what is that about, the Pentagon coming out to say that there may be a mothership above us, there may be visitors from other parts of the universe? What do you think they're coming out at this time?
From what I feel, I just feel this. I'm feeling that they have to have some sort of disclosure today. As we call it, self-disclosure, because there will be panic if they suddenly, and I believe that we're going to be able to see more of these spaceships around, the UFOs, and people are taking pictures, as I just said. So they have to, it's like they have to answer a few questions. And I believe that they're doing that. This is the beginning of disclosure. And they also put it, if you watch the movies and many things, so we're getting accustomed to the fact that maybe we are not alone.
Mm-hmm. But up until this time, you as a person, a young lady, and you have a book, if you were to say you were a clairvoyant, people could possibly believe that. If you say that you are psychic or an intuitive, that's been around for a while. Edgar Casey and Sylvia Brown and others have gone down that highway. But to say that you were abducted and you remember your experiences, that's a whole different new realm of thinking, isn't it?
Because we haven't been accustomed to seeing very much of that. I mean, we've had movies out in the past, but very few and far between. There were programs like Star Trek and programs like that, which are getting people a little bit more open-minded to the fact that maybe there's something. But, you know, it was just a TV program, so they say, well, it's fiction. But somewhere, I believe, in our subconscious, we're thinking perhaps this could be existing. I mean, I don't know the answer completely to that, but I think because we were so closed-minded about anything to do with UFOs, and we were more open-minded with people that became psychic because they were able to talk to you and give you messages. And how would that be possible unless they're listening to someone? A UFO is slightly different, which is coming to my mind right now, because, you know, seeing is believing. Well, we're not seeing it. We're just hearing about it. So maybe that's why it's taking longer. But we are, people are seeing, as I said, but the majority of people are not. So maybe that's why they're very skeptical.
Yeah, I would say, too, then, going back in history, looking at all the disinformation that was put out by the federal government, that if you say something about I was abducted and little gray men or tall reptilian persons, you know, abducted me, they would think you were absolutely crazy because they said, oh, no, no, that's not true. Something's wrong with you. I mean, was that the mantra of the day, if you will?
Well, yes, and I think also what helps a lot is the internet. And programs like Gaia program on many different subjects, but they certainly do talk about UFOs and the secret space program. So more and more people that they watch it and they're telling somebody else. And of course, you can share this information through the internet. Well, that's only been over, I'm not sure how many years, but let's say the last 20 years, I think I'm correct in saying that. So more and more is coming out in the open. Yes, many, many people today don't believe it, but they're beginning to be a little more open-minded. I truly believe that, because even with that lady that came up to me the other day, she saw UFO on the book that I was reading, and she had interest to go up to a complete stranger and ask me what that was. I don't think that would have happened maybe many years back. So I'm happy about it because this happened to me 18 years ago, and I didn't know what was happening, actually, but today I understand so much more.
Well, now that you have that clarity about there is a possibility of another world, that you have been abducted, there are some aliens here, UFOs flying here and there in the skies. What do you see as your role then, having been abducted and having had, you know, grab some of those memories to bring to the table? What is your role?
Actually, thank you for that question. I do like that question because I am only just one person telling my story, but my story, I believe, is very important for the people that want to know more. I can't expect to get to everybody and they're going to understand that, but I have had firsthand experience of what happened to me. So I'm very happy to share that story on the media or wherever. I am actually writing a book too, not so much right now about the UFOs, but they will be coming out because I believe it's important. If someone even just picks a book up or watches or listens to one of my shows, they're beginning to have some interest. Otherwise, they wouldn't have tuned in. Maybe someone asked them to watch the show just to keep an open mind. But every little bit, so to speak, helps.
Okay. Well, you say a show. You have a show. Let's talk about your show. How can people, if you are a clairvoyant, obviously you are able to do readings, right? And do you, are you still practicing helping people through the readings process?
Yes, I am, because I do readings. I have a show every Monday at 3 o'clock, which is called Call Me Zena. You can actually get it through Facebook, or I am on YouTube too, but that's just starting with my YouTube program. So if you go into Call Me Zena at 3 o'clock on a Monday, you can hear my show, but that's live. But after that, many of my shows are recorded on that same venue, Call Me Zena. So I have like about 25 at this point, if people are interested in listening, where I have, I'm a medium, I talk to people, I give them messages. But we're just starting to kind of now talk about the UFOs, because I believe that's very, very important, and it's part of what happened to me on my own journey, because I was abducted.
Okay. So, if I may, it's your website. You have a website or Facebook?
Yes, I have a website. I'm also an artist. I'm in the process of redoing my website. But right now, my website has my art on it, which is artbysallybernard.com. I am in the process of having another website, and my book will be out called Call Me Zena.
Okay. Spell that last name. Sally, S-A-L-L-Y.
Yes. S-A-L-L-Y. B-A-R-N-A-R-D. Artbysallybernard.com.
Okay, great.
Sally Bernard.
Right. And do you
and
have
my
any,
email?
Your email?
Yes, it's actually, I believe now that I'm really bad at technology. I have a new email address, which would be callmezena with a Z, E-N-A, 1111@gmail.com.
Okay. Call me Zena, 1111@gmail.com. Okay, good. So people can email you there. Now, you were saying that you are clairvoyant and psychic and intuitive. Give me some definitions. I mean, can you explain what's the difference between those three?
Well, actually, again, there are no coincidences, actually, and I'm glad you asked me that, because right in the very beginning, I was given these titles when people could see what I was doing, and I didn't know, but I do now know. I'm psychic, which means that I can talk to people and give them messages. I'm an empath. I feel people, so I can feel or talk to people through a feeling. Let's say someone's walking around and they're very upset. I will get that type of a feeling. I'm a medium, because I actually hear people, and I can give messages through it's mediumship, which I'm like talked to, and I can channel. The word is channel that I'm looking for. So I can channel through. So basically what I do like to do, and on my show I do this, I go into a trance, but you don't necessarily notice that I'm in a trance, and I channel a collective. Or as people know, if they have read my book, I had a guide here, and he talks to me, who has passed on this last year and a half. So I get a lot of information that way.
Okay. So you had a guide. You mean in the physical world, or was it in spirit, or was it some kind of...
He's now in spirit, but he was my guide on earth, who understood much more than I did when all this was happening. He was very, very advanced. So for 18 years, I would say nearly every day over the 18 years, he would give me some type of information about what was happening to me. And he knew me. I believe in past lives. So he had been with me in previous lifetimes and had looked for me actually here when he first came in. He understood a lot. He could go back into previous lives and began to tell me who I was in other lifetimes. So he came purposely, actually, he told me, looking for me to give me information when I began to open up to this. He wouldn't have contacted me if I had never opened up. But I did. I had many things happening to me, and he was right there, talked to me, found me, and let me know what was going on.
Would he just walk up to you one day and say, hey, I'm from...
Well, yeah, there's much more of a story, Russ. I'm kind of condensing it. I was at work, and this gentleman had found me at work but would not approach me before some curiosity of what was going on. And that particular night, the night before I met him, I actually had an out-of-body, which we call astral projection, or even abduction. Mine, the first one, I believe, was an abduction, but I thought it was just an out-of-body, which I didn't know too much about. And the following day, this gentleman, Aldo, his name is, came up to me at my workplace. He was also working there. I did not know him. He introduced himself to me, and he looked at me, and he said to me, I know where you were last night. Well, I didn't know what had happened to me, but I still was, I remember everything, and I couldn't believe what had happened to me. And he then described to me in detail what I would have called a dream, but I knew it was more than a dream. But he described to me every detail that I had seen that night in my dream. Well, at that point, I did not understand it, but I there was no words. I didn't know how did that happen? How was that possible? So that's how I began my own journey.
Mm-hmm. So he, okay, great. That's interesting. What does he... Since he told you, I've been looking for you, to do what? Mm-hmm. What are you supposed to be doing?
Okay, yeah. Thank you for that question, too, because I didn't know at that point. I had no idea what my future had ahead of me, what was going to happen to me. But he had been here to, if it had happened. Now, I may not have had this happen to me. I could have gone into another life and it could have happened. But I chose to this life, which they now call, and many people say that I began to wake up and I was open-minded to this. But he did not approach me until I had, which I can recall, I may have had more, but I don't remember them, but my very first out-of-body experience. Then he knew that he could introduce himself to me. He had been working in the same place as me for that last year, but had never come up to me until that day when I'd had the night before my out-of-body experience. So to me, that was complete and absolute validation. There are no other words for that.
Oh, okay. All right. So... But you cover a lot of territory in saying you're a psychic, you're an intuitive,
yes.
You're clairvoyant,
mm-hmm.
You've been abducted,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you remember your abductions. So
I do. I having many, I don't know, and I can't tell you if I remember every one, because if I don't remember, I'm not sure which ones I don't know. But I'm continuing to remember more at this point now, yes.
Okay.
I do. I document. I actually documented them, which he told me to do every night when I would wake up after. I would wake up after I'd had my so-called at that point. It was a dream, but it wasn't. It was an abduction, and I documented everything. And I see it as clear today as I did 18, 17, 16 years ago.
Uh-huh. So there's what. I'm glad we established a base at least. But today I wanted to talk about a specificity. I want to talk about, since you have the ability to be a clairvoyant, to talk to people on the other side, right?
Right.
To understand that they are other beings and the truth of the matter of the nature of the universe as we understand the truth, because I guess it's pretty broad with the billions and trillions of planets in the universe, that there are a lot of ideas out there, like Shakespeare says, what? They're more...
If all the worlds are stayed, man.
Yeah, he says that. The other piece he said, the world is the stage and we are actresses and actors upon the stage. And
right.
But there's another thing that he says, that there are more things in the universe than we can even perceive or conceive of in our philosophies or our understandings. So there's a lot of information out there. I just want to take one piece of information in the next few minutes. John Kennedy, he was killed as president of the United States some years ago, JFK. And as a matter of fact, that was in 1962 in Texas, in Dealey Plaza. The Warren Report has it. There were motion pictures out there, a Stone and other people, a lot of books, a lot of discussion. Some people say the CIA had a hand in this. It wasn't Oswald. Yeah. On and on and on. It goes thousands and thousands of discussions and books and programs on that subject matter. Who do you think might have a real hand in getting rid of Kennedy and why?
Well, it's a fascinating but a sad subject, obviously. But I feel that the CIA, people within the CIA had definitely knowledge, and I'm wanting to say had planned this. This is from what I feel, and I work through a collective, and this is the information that I feel that I'm getting. I have just actually recently read some of these things that I am feeling, and I'm feeling that this is correct what I'm reading. Which is, and they mentioned that the CIA members of, not everyone in the CIA, because not everybody had that knowledge, but there were certain groups within the CIA that had planned this. He had a lot of information, and they didn't basically want to let it get out to the public at that time.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Okay, fine, not a problem. But why would they want him gone? Being he, president of the United States, and in a traditional sense, the CIA, FBI, and other agencies, the Health and Welfare Organization and economics, whatever, all under his preview, under his control, his responsibility under that umbrella, why would they want to get rid of him? The CIA.
Because he had a lot of information that they were not ready for him to, he was like, if I would say, a threat to them, because a lot of this was not known. And there were people working in within that organization that knew this, but he became privy to some of this and he was ready to talk about it. He wanted to talk about it, but they didn't want him to have that opportunity. They were not ready. Basically, it was to do with the UFOs and what was going on and that we have visitors here. But at that time, I don't know now, I believe they are going, as we said, but at that time, they did not want that information out.
Well,
so he was a threat. There were many other things, too, but primarily, I believe this was one of the main ones.
Okay. He seems to be, I'm trying to look at a challenge that he had. And let's do this. Kennedy, from the little bit I read by Dr. Seller. Mm-hmm. Do you have that book, Dr. Seller? Have you read his book?
Yes, I do. I have it. Yeah.
What does Dr. Seller say? Michael Seller, by the way, let me bring the audience up to speed. He's an author. He's a researcher. He's a speaker in the fields of exopolitics, international politics, and conflict resolutions. By the way, he's the founder of the Exopolitic Institute, an educational organization dedicated to the study of extraterrestrial life, and especially its political implications in all of our lives, economically, socially, psychologically, philosophically, and emotionally. So he has a lot of podcasts out there called Exopolitics. So if you want to ever hear Dr. Seller and listen to what he has to say, in addition to reading his many, he's a prolific author. So what book have you come across that he
The one that I have, actually I have it in front of me right now, it's Kennedy's Last Stand, Eisenhower, UFOs, and MJ-12, JFK Assassination.
Okay. What is he saying specifically Kennedy was upset about and the CIA was also upset with Kennedy? What is he saying in that book?
Well, yes, he was. And I mean, to now, just, and I'm just seeing where it says whistleblowers with their testimonies, there are many things that were going on that we obviously were not privy to, but they were very upset with him. There were many things where he was about ready to expose all this at that time, and we're talking about the early 60s, right?
Yes.
And here's one, to learn the truth about UFOs and alien life. They were around, but they did not want this out in the general public. They didn't. And this has been going on for years. There's a secret space program that I found very, very interesting, where I was getting my own kind of messages because I had been abducted. And I had gone not just with these books that are very full of information, but Gaia TV also speaks about this. Many people are being abducted and have been over the years. They didn't want this out. That's what I feel I'm getting from this. I mean, there's okay. much more involvement in it than who actually was the person that actually killed Kennedy. I see now that there was a lot of false information out there, for sure.
I think Kennedy, toward the end of his life, adjusted that to would... from my understanding, there are a lot of motion pictures out there, a lot of books out there, there are a lot of the Warren Commission that said there's only one guy who killed Kennedy, and that was Oswald. And people said, no, it's more than one shot and all of that. But listen, here's a clip from Kennedy himself when he talked about the cover-up, secrets, societies, people keeping secrets from the masses of the people who he believed deserve to have the answers to all things on this planet. So here's Kennedy himself.
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. This administration intends to be candid about its errors, for as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment.
Well, that was Kennedy. That was a statement just before he was assassinated.
Wow.
Will.
My words for that are wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what you're saying and what he was saying kind of coincide in terms of the secrecy and the cabal and the military-industrial complex and all of that.
Russ, the messages are out there, which you had just showed us. There are people that were trying desperately for us to understand and hear these messages that have the credibility, that knew what was going on. That was a perfect example, right?
Right. So you feel as if, based on your energy, based on your intuition, based on how you talk to others on the other side, They say the CIA was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
I'm talking over you. But as far as what you had just said, yes. I mean, do I know the truth? I myself personally don't. I've read things in the past. However, now I am feeling it with the energy with what you had just said, because I am able to get messages. And I feel very strongly now. I feel my interest I'm very interested in this now, very interested.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's beginning to make sense to me, let's say that, because I am being contacted by other people.
Okay. Along those same lines that you say this, and when you read Dr. Seller's book, he's saying that he documents a lot of this, what we are talking about. He also says that Eisenhower and Kennedy met 2 days
uh-huh.
before Kennedy took office, and Eisenhower disclosed the fact
uh-huh.
that aliens were present. He had met with aliens in 1952.
Right.
And here's what Eisenhower is saying about the whole military-industrial complex.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
So there you have two presidents talking about that military-industrial complex
right.
that had taken over mm-hmm. and is controlled by mm-hmm. some people saying the CIA took it to Area 51, S4, Groom's Lake, and those areas, and are still in
right.
control of that whole thing. Could you talk about that a bit?
Yes. Well, to me, I can only go with what I'm feeling, because I've heard
Absolutely.
So many, like everybody else, different stories. But I am feeling very much so that this was a very, very big cover-up. I mean, it's gone on for years, but I also feel that I feel just like with the UFOs, the truth is out there. That's what I'm hearing someone saying to me for my collective. It will be made known. But many things, I believe, will come out a little bit. I did not know with Lee Harvey Oswald that he was he was in a cafeteria, supposedly. Well, not supposedly. This is proof, because people have seen him shortly after Kennedy was assassinated. He's sitting there having a cup of tea. He didn't even know that he'd been assassinated. Well, this story has never submerged. I've never heard this before, but I see now, because I'm being led to the right news places and reading and literature, that I feel very strongly that this was a big cover-up. How is a man having a cup of tea when a president assassinated, and then a few minutes later he's accused of his killing? How does that happen? It doesn't,
yeah.
right?
Well, so anyway, I just wanted, I was dealing with a specific target that a lot of people have over the last, 50 years or more, have wondered who really killed Kennedy. A lot of people didn't believe that the Warren Commission report, that only one person had him killed, and that he was part of the Communist Scott Party or something like that, whatever that was.
Okay.
So I just
mm-hmm.
wanted to see, and your analysis, as you can read.
Well, that's all that I have. I feel, I'm an empath. I feel, and I'm a channeler. So yes, my answer to this question would be absolutely there was a cover up, and the truth will be known. They were covering up because they were not ready to reveal anything, and many other things, but one of the main things was UFOs and what was going on and people being abducted. They did not want this to be out there. Obviously, there were other things too, but we're talking about the UFOs, so I feel that that was part of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think, in a sense of the word, because I was looking at some other people, why do you think in a sense that they don't want, in a general sense, economically, political, psychologically, philosophically, whatever, that they don't want the people on planet Earth to know if they are UFOs, that they are UFOs, if there are different species visiting us, like the greys or reptilians or whatever you want to call them, why don't they want us to know, is my question.
Because there'll be mass hysteria. That's what most people would probably answer with, but I'm getting more of an answer right now. Also, there's going to be tremendous distrust with governments, because if we now, and this is just coming to me right now, Russ, if we now find out that this cover-up's been going on since, I'm going to say, before I was born, how many more lies have they told us? I'm hearing this very strongly. They've been able to not let this be known all these years, 50, 60 years. What else are they hiding from us? That's very important. I feel that. They're telling me to tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I would say, ask you this question. Since we have been deceived in terms of how we were born, life and death, and heaven and hell, and the Garden of Eden, and all of that, what do you say when I'm going back, if you don't mind, for a minute, just a minute or two. I'm going back to 1938. Orson Welles, he did a radio show called War of the Worlds in 1938, and you can document, Google that for the people who want to get the history of that. And when he put that show on, saying aliens are visiting this planet and will infiltrate your communities, you know, be able to touch you, talk to you, whatever, people were not only shocked, but they were in disarray. They jumped out of windows. They went bonkers. But that you think that would happen today if we told the truth?
You have to do it gradually, yes. I believe that this disclosure should be little by little. We don't want people jumping out of windows because there are other people here on our planet. So we have to use discretion with this. But I definitely believe that we should be starting to talk about it, because if we don't and they all decide to suddenly appear, a whole lot of them, it's going to be far worse. We need to let people know that there are other people out there that are visiting our planet. Right now it's all secret. Of course, many people know that are in power. Not everybody. I think it's time for disclosure. Absolutely. Little by little, of course. But it has. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, people may open up to a lot of these movies today now. If we start talking about it, and many of the movies where The Matrix, again, I go back to Star Trek because I think that's very interesting, and it's been on for years. I don't know if there are any new programs on that. I haven't watched it for a while.
Of course, yes, they are,
Yeah, which is very interesting. I mean, yes, there's Gaia, and there's many credible TV stations that do run this sort of thing. Star Trek is fiction, but the fiction is basically the truth, as far as I see it.
Okay.
So, you know, people, they can just get them interested in this subject to go deeper into it. And I believe that's happening. I totally believe that that's happening.
Right. There's an estimate that I've come across. It said that so many people have been abducted in the past 60, 70, 80, 100 years or more, that they think that the numbers here in the United States among just this population, 350 million people, they think that that number is as big as 6-8 million people have been abducted.
I kind of believe that. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't have the exact knowledge of figures, but
right.
I know many, many people have been. And I also know this, as you're aware that I know this too, is that they do erase your memory afterwards. They have a way, because their technology and what they know is far greater than us. We're comparatively a new planet, although we've been around thousands of years. But they have advanced technology. So they don't want us, we go to sleep, we wake up, we may have no idea of what happened to us. I happen to see, and many more things may have happened to me because I'm beginning to get my memory back. I'm not alone with this. There are many people that have had this that don't remember, that are beginning to remember, because there are people that do remember and know more, and they're opening up more. So they can say to themselves, you know what, I have a feeling that happened to me.
Right.
So I'm becoming very clear now in what happened to me over the 18 years that this happened. I only have memory of the 1 year, 18 years ago. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are other pictures you mentioned, you know, that people are now watching Gaia or Cosmic Connections or Ancient Aliens or Beyond Belief of George mm-hmm. Norrie. Art Bell was 30, 40 years ago. He was on radio all across coast to coast, it was called.
Yes, coast to coast.
And he was talking about this every night, and he had hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of listeners. And as you indicated there, motion pictures, E.T. was very popular some years ago when it first mm-hmm. came out. Men in Black and Chameleon and Fire in the Sky and The Fourth Kind and on and on and on. So even Spielberg has put a lot of motion pictures and AI and all that out there to educate us about the reality of something different in our construct besides Mork and Mendy go ahead.
What I say with you, with all that you're mentioning, which is great, but there's something else that I've observed with this, Russ.
Yeah.
That what you're mentioning, many of these programs, they're all tremendous hits. If you think about it, everybody loves to listen, even E.T., they love to listen to this. So because I have a spiritual in a lot of ways, and I'm understanding a lot now today, I think deep in our psyche, we are remembering when we see it. Now, I don't know, and I've never come forward with this, but I'm just hearing this too, that there is something within us that triggers a slight memory. But because we're so programmed not to understand that, we put it aside and we don't talk about it anymore. But these movies, each one of them, The Matrix, each one of them have been tremendously successful.
Right, true. Well, a lot of people have watched them, and books have been written, and I'm thinking about even Colonel Corso, who retired, and now he's gone. But he has a book called The Day After Roswell that he held all that information. It's very mm-hmm. secret until shortly before he passed on, he decided to leave the truth back in that book for people who want to pick up that book. Have you ever heard the name of Corso, Colonel Corso, or Dave Wilcox, or Corey Good, any of those names?
Yes, I have, and they're actually all guests on Gaia. If your listeners would like to listen to Gaia, it's a TV show, and it's about a lot of different things, but on this particular subject, and many that they talk about, is that they have a program about the secret space program, and each one of the people you've mentioned have been on that program, as far as I know, and many more, and very credible people. I mean, doctors, it's people high up in the military. They're coming forward as whistleblowers.
Right, a lot of whistleblowers are coming out. As a matter of fact, Stephen mm-hmm. Greer, he has. Do you know Stephen Greer at all?
So I'm familiar with these people because I do watch Gaia, and a lot of them are on Gaia. I enjoy it. I like watching it.
He has a deal with some parts of the government that is called whistleblower updates, where people who want to come forth and tell what happened to them or what they know.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that we can protect you. So he has an urgent request for government and government contractors who are whistleblowers to come forward to bring up the information, and he says they will be protected, as contrast to the old days where that you will be eliminated. So it's I think it's a different
twist. Oh, I like that. I wasn't familiar with that. I like that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So more and more people are coming forward, right.
You know about his conference that he's doing in Washington, D.C., coming up soon?
I did hear about that, yes. I would love to attend that. It's, I believe, in Washington.
That's in June.
I would love to go, but I guess it's getting very booked up at this point. I believe it's in June. I actually have it in front of me right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
For the people who don't know Dr. Greer, he's been out there for at least 40 years researching all of this. He used to be head of emergency medicine at some large hospital, but he decided to step away and do a lot of research on this. I'm thinking also about George Green. I used to interview some 30 years ago, and he was in the Air Force when I was in the Air Force years mm-hmm. and years ago in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And he discovered that alien craft because he was an engineer, and he discovered that the United States government had some craft that they had uncovered, but he was told to keep his mouth shut and remain secret. But here's a little clip about George Green and what he has to say.
Yeah, probably. I don't know, but his wife gave me all the data on the different clones. I got papers and papers of them. Another doctor that was in charge, the extraterrestrials shared the information with a doctor down in Albuquerque, and they contacted me because I was publishing all the books exposing the bad guys and all the things that are going on. He contacted me. He says, I got it all. We talked on the phone. I said, I'll fly down on Thursday. I talked to him on Tuesday. On Thursday, they picked him up and put him in a mental institution and gave him and basically electroshock, and he's a vegetable today. Now, well, I told you about 4.5 years ago when I lived here in Vegas, I was contacted by the ETs. I said, look, I've been, like, for the last 10 years, I've been publishing books exposing the bad guys, right? You know what the ETs said? What good has that done? It's okay to know all this stuff, but what's the solution? The solution is written in those little books. That's the reason why they're more important. And I give them away. The reason why I give away the handbook, and you probably heard me on Coast to Coast, I gave 35,000 of them away one night. And we're not going to have a planet left unless we do this. That's how serious it is. I know what's good. I sat in on the meetings on planning on annihilating all you people. I mean, I sat with the governor of Colorado, and he says, I got my ticket. I said, what ticket? Yeah. He said, I'm sitting in the office with one of the Skull and Bones members. And I'm sitting with the governor, and I said, what ticket? And he said, well. And then we went into the underground facility in Australia. You've heard of that in Pine Gap that the Rockefellers built for 35,000 people? I don't have my ticket. They, when they're getting ready to go, they got a facility because they know the northern hemisphere is going to have it in spades. So does that mean for you to run to the southern hemisphere? Well, 4 weeks ago, a good friend of mine, Brian O'Leary, the Apollo astronaut, has moved to Ecuador. He's in the Valley of Longevity. He says, I know what's coming down. He also knew we never made it to the moon. Another lie.
Now, that's a big one. Maybe the next show we should do. That's really unfathomable to understand that. Kennedy wanted saying that this we have to make it to the moon. But he's saying one of the astronauts said we never made it to the moon. Can you believe that?
That's incredible. Yes, absolutely. I mean, people, what happens to us, as far as I see, they put all this down to conspiracy theories. And if you're a conspiracy theorist, they don't believe you. However, what they don't know is so much of them as it's all truth. But it comes under the title of, once you hear that, people say, oh, it's just another rumor, right? But this is not so. This is the truth. It's getting me a little bit, not annoyed, but it's just like, please, let's all wake up to this, correct? If this program helps, with me talking helps, then I'm doing my part in helping with this. It's important. It's very important.
So you see your role as being, I won't say a whistleblower, but as a mouthpiece for truth, I guess you can say it that way, to disclose what you know as an intuitive, as a psychic, as a clairvoyant, and as a person who has been abducted and who has had a guide. Your guide, do you think he or she, that person, Aldo, you said Aldo, do you think he was an alien?
Yes, absolutely, but he never divulged that. I mean, he knew a lot, but it took me many years. I was in my, I was getting older when all this happened to me, but I had also another experience that really, I couldn't deny this, with Alda coming into my life. One of my travels, they told me to go and get some crayons and start to draw. Well, I'd never been interested in art, and I had never drawn anything ever. I never went to art school or anything. But I remembered this because I was documenting it, and I also documented that. And I started to draw many, many things. And one of the very first things that I was actually drawing were rocket ships. And I was drawing many things from the past. And Aldo, and it will be in my book too, and it was in my other book, interprets a lot of this art. I didn't know what I was drawing. I could basically have my eyes closed, yet I was able to draw from never having to. And in the very beginning, they were rocket ships and many, many things of previous lifetimes that I'd had. And I wasn't aware of this, so to speak, in my mind. I didn't know. And yet I was able to do this. Oh, my story is a different story, but it's all true.
So you are totally, absolutely convinced that we have aliens here on the planet, that you have been abducted, that you have spoken to them, that
yes,
there are other worlds out there, and that we're at the beck and call, I guess.
Anybody listening, or if anybody wants to, I want to be hypnotized because I want to, under hypnosis, explain in detail what I've seen. That's how I am so confident that this happened to me and continued for a year, that I would like to be hypnotized so that I could even explain more in detail.
I guess we have to find a person who's credible, like Dr. John Mack. I think he's gone now. He's wrote a couple of books. He was the head of psychiatry, I believe, or the psychiatry department, psychology department, either one. But he was a psychiatrist at Temple University some years ago. But anyway, we will get into the next. Go ahead.
No, I just would say I would like someone with credibility behind them because I know what happened to me, but I'd like other people to understand. And if I have a credible person, this is what happened, and I'm telling my story, they're going to listen.
Yeah, I think if you will get, like, for instance, you say you know Stephen Greer, and he's been out there he was a doctor of emergency rooms, and he stepped aside to do this research. But here's what he had to say about secrecy and briefings.
This section of the briefing is regarding secrecy, how secrecy works, how have these projects worked. Some years ago, a military advisor of mine explained to me something called an unacknowledged special access project, or USAP. This is a project which, while compartmented and which requires special access, is also unacknowledged. And what that means is that no one outside of that compartmented area of operation is told about it. And it doesn't matter if the person is the President of the United States, the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. I have, over the past 8 years, had the responsibility, unwelcome, I might add, on my part, of having to brief a sitting CIA director on this issue, a sitting head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, an admiral who headed up the J-2 position, the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as well as other senior people within the Congress, the Senate, the United Nations, and foreign governments. I have found that for the most part, these high officials have known nothing about these compartmented special access projects, which are unacknowledged and which deal with this issue.
And by the way, that's a documentary. Wow. That's, go to YouTube and punch in unacknowledged, and it's about a 2-hour, documentary. It's excellent.
Very,
it's excellent in terms of, he has done a lot of homework in the last 40 years documenting the fact that extraterrestrials are here, and that we are hiding all of this information. Any comment before we leave? I mean, we've been talking for almost an hour.
I just want to thank you because, we're opening people's minds a little bit by doing what we're doing right now. It's very important, and I want to thank you for having me as a guest on your show to be able to talk about this.
Yeah, but from your context, Aldo, right? who contacted you and said he was looking for you, in search of you for many years, what do you think he wants you to do? Since he's crossed over now, what would he have you to do for the rest of your life?
Well, he had said to me many, many times, and I have told people this, he wanted anonymity, but he saw in me that I was able to talk, and I was able to, you know, because I enjoy doing this, to pass on the information. He was not going to be a public speaker. He wanted me to be his mouthpiece. And even a week before he passed from this earth, he said to me, Sally, be my mouthpiece. Talk about this. And and that's why I've even come out more now, that I want to do this. I hear him. He talks to me still, although he's in spirit. I hear him. And I'm doing, well, he's put 18 years of his life here, the last 18 years, to you know, give me a lot of information. And I now want to pass that on to other people.
And so you think it's time for the full disclosure then of all the things that have gone on from, let's say, to be kind, to say Roswell of 1947, that's crash of that spaceship in Roswell, New Mexico,
yep,
up until now, that we've been hiding all of this, all of these facts from people. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, it's just not this show that there are many things that they can look up, go into the internet and see who has been disclosing this. They will give the names of people. There are many very well-known people that have been talking about this. We can get this out there more because we have the internet, because we have these people, especially now the whistleblowers. It's important. More and more people that want to understand this, more and more people will be able to see what's going on.
All right. Well, here's another clip by James Gillard.
Their dimensional beings work along with those natural cycles. And when people are most open to experiencing this higher consciousness and energy, and with that energy pressing in is universal law. So you're going to see our whole legal system get turned upside down. You know, you're going to see the political system get turned upside down. You're going to see the corruption in the business and religious institutions. All of them is all going to come to the surface. And that's part of the process. And so, you know, we have to learn to stay centered through the chaos. That's part of the healing. The chaos we're experiencing now is just everything coming up to the surface. And we need to be examples to others and help others get through this process, because it's going to be an intense one.
Well, to say the least, because now you talk, you see, and we only have 2 minutes left, but now you're talking about the people who believe in traditional religions, you know, the Catholic, the Methodists, the Protestants, the Mormons, whatever, a Seventh-day Adventist, all of those, they see the world different than what you've been describing for the past hour. The people who are head of departments at universities around the world, the psychology and sociology and all the governmental institutions, they don't see the world as you have described to us for the last hour. They think you're nutcase.
Absolutely. And I often say, even with what I do, I can't tell the world and I can't expect them to believe me. But for the people that are beginning to understand, that want to know more, there is good information out there. And I hope that I'm one of the people that can give this information. Not everybody's going to understand it or even want to. If there's disclosure, it's better that they understand it. They won't be terrified. But, you know, you can only do so much.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you being on. And next time we come, maybe we grab another topic of maybe you might talk about some of the people that you've talked to. Maybe, I don't know, are you going to the D.C. event in June with Dr. Greer?
I would like to go there. I would definitely like to, and we could talk about that. But if for some reason I don't make it there. There are many other topics that I would love to discuss with you, you know, about this or how.
Okay. Well, let's point people towards your program. That your program is done. Let's talk about that. You on a lot of platforms on social media.
Yes, but the main
how
one
can people find
right
you?
Is Call Me Zena on Facebook. If they go into Facebook and click on Call Me Zena, they will find me, Sally Bernard. At 3 o'clock on a Monday, but there are recordings there.
Okay. Any closing comments?
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I hope that what we've been talking about helps some people to, well, you know, as I had said, the people that want to, I don't believe they're coincidences, so hopefully they're listening. I don't believe that they're coincidences, so I'm going to say they are listening. That's what
okay.
My closing comment is.
Okay. Call Me Zena, the title of your program.
Call Me Zena.
And people who want to email you, they go, was Sally Bernard?
Yes. Sally Bernard. Well, there's a callmezena1111@gmail.com.
Okay, Sally, thank you very much. Go ahead. Or? Sally Bernard.
My name.
I'm sorry, I talked over you. What did you say?
This may be easier for people to remember. I don't know. SallyBernard1111@gmail.com.
Okay.
Zena,
Sally Bernard, thank you very much for being on the program. And good having you here on Blog Talk Radio, and I appreciate the time that you have given us and the information that you're willing to share.
Very official who ran the covert government program up until this last November, Luis Elizondo. Luis, thank you so much for your time tonight. I mean, first, tell us what the purpose of the program was and why it was so secretive.
Sure. The purpose of the program, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, was really designed to do just that. From a national security perspective, identify those things that we see, whether we see them electro-optically, we see them with radar, we see them as eyewitness reports, through a myriad of different ways and avenues that we receive the information, and try to ascertain and determine if that information is a potential threat to national security, in a nutshell.
Have a good one. See you next time.